Welcome to Southside Student Ministries Podcast, where we are all about developing students into lifelong followers of Jesus. We trust that the message that you are about to listen to will help you know God better and help you live a transformed life. If you have any questions about what you heard, please visit us online at www.southsidestudentmin.com. Thank you for listening.
You guys, I miss being able to have these conversations, because here's the deal about what we do in youth group, okay? Youth group is something that a lot of people don't really understand what the purpose is. I don't think you guys knew that. A lot of people think youth group, for Nicole and I growing up, youth group was like church. We showed up, we didn't have fun, we sang like six songs out of the teenage hymnal. It was the teenager hymnal. And sometimes it was a guitar. Sometimes it was a guitar, but, you know, God forbid, no upstrums. I'm not kidding, no upstrums. And then we would have about a 15-minute message, and we would go home. Like, that was it. That was youth group. I've been a part of other youth groups where they literally come, they have a party, they play Xbox One. All right, let's have a message. Jesus loves you. Peace. Like, see you later. And it's like, that's it. That's what youth group's all about. But what youth group is all about here at SM, and you guys know this. I'm going to say it till I'm blue in the face, and I know you guys are tired of it too. But on your slips on the very front, it says what we're all about developing you guys into lifelong followers of Jesus. And in order to do that, I feel like in order to actually accomplish that, we have to talk about real life scenarios. So for you seventh graders, I will say words that will make you giggle, because I don't shy away from those words. They're not four-letter words. Don't worry. I don't use those. Not at all. Not just in church. I don't use those at all. Gabe, I'm sorry I heard that. But I want to be real with you guys, because the world is changing extremely rapidly. And here's the deal. Most of you guys don't go to a Christian school. Most of you guys aren't like homeschooled. Most of you guys go to a public school where you guys deal with things day after day after day. And you have to have conversations with people. You have to be able to defend your faith. You have to be able to know what you believe and why you believe it. You have to be able to answer some questions like, so you guys do that? Like, why the heck do you do that? There's a question that you guys have to deal with, and I want to give you guys the answers, the framework, the groundwork, the thought process for you guys to be actually take what we learn, and this is what the point of small groups is, apply it to your real life, so when you go back out into the world, you're able to have these conversations. That's what it's all about. So this series, what we're going to be talking about, is called From Here to There, Finding God's Will for Your Life. Now, most of you guys know I didn't grow up in public school. I wasn't a homeschooler. I wasn't like, you know, one of those people, like those homeschoolers, you know, you don't have one of them. But I was a Christian schooler, which is like, it's the same thing. Just my mom paid a lot of money to send me because she didn't want me at home. So, but maybe you guys had a different experience. Maybe you guys have the same one or not. But for me, in elementary school, the best time of day ever besides like lunch and PE. What are we going to read? All those. My favorite part of the day, this is no joke, one of my favorite parts of the day was when I finished my seat work early and I got dibs on that old nasty computer. And on that computer, there were some amazing games that we got to play. Did you guys have that opportunity where you guys got to play games like Snake and Pong and my personal favorite, Oregon Trail? Did you guys ever play Oregon Trail? You guys remember some Oregon Trail? Yeah. What was the point of Oregon Trail?
You got to survive to the end.
What?
Not let people die.
And you don't want to let people die, which, by the way, I played the ghetto version. Like, I legit played the ghetto version. It's called Mormon Trail, which, yes, there was an actual Mormon Trail. I named one of my people Homeboy, and Homeboy kept getting lost, and he broke his leg. He had dysphoria and a cholera, and then he died. Like, Homeboy did not do good, all right? Homeboy did not do good. So, but either way, I love this game because it was how fast, my goal was how fast I get to Oregon and like without stopping. And I don't care who my party died as long as I made it there. Like that was my goal. Third grade Mark. Third grade Eli's like, I don't know what you're talking about because we didn't have computers in homeschool. But yeah. I'm just going to roast you all year, bro. You had more computers than me. I'm sure your dad's a techie guy.
You were homeschool away from home. Pretty much.
But I love this game. The best part of the game, though, wasn't like at the very beginning where you got to pick your ammunition and your oxygen and whatnot. My favorite was when you came up against a certain obstacle and you had to choose what you wanted to do. Like, you would come to, like, this little area and you would have to figure out, okay, do I want to try this, or this? And if you answered wrong, you died. And if you answered right, you made it. And sometimes you lost an axle, like whatever, you know. Like, this is one of the scenarios that maybe you guys recognize. But like, when you get to a river crossing, you're now crossing the Kansas River. Would you like to look around? And you can answer, yeah, I want to look around. So, you know, dot system, YES, next. And then all of a sudden you're there. Press space bar to continue. The weather is cold. Oh, that's never good, people. That's never good. The river depth is 628 feet.
Uh-oh.
The river depth is 4. The river width is 620. The depth is only 5 foot. You may attempt to ford the river.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah, that's stupid. That. You could caulk the wagon. You know how caulk is, like, legit, like, with silicone, like, filling the gaps and float it across. You could take the ferry across, but you know you always got to pay money, so you don't want to do that. Or you could wait to see if conditions improve, which homeboy would get sick and die. You just know it's going to happen. And then 5 is you can get more information. What is your choice? And you would sit there and go, dang, what do I do? So you make a choice. What our choice was is we attempted to caulk our boat and float across because we ghetto cheap, right? And then you go across and you see your little action and your little like oxen are like, you're doing like fake like chubby man walk like across the river. And then all of a sudden you tipped over offloading. You lose 571 bullets, 3 wagon wheels, and 291 pounds of food, but you did not lose homeboy. That's the purpose. You did not lose homeboy. But you do stuff like this. You come up against scenario, and you could either answer correctly, and there's only one right answer. I don't know if you knew this, there was only one right answer to do it, and that would be perfectly safe. Or you could do all these other answers, and you were wrong. And if you were wrong, you're like, okay, if I just broke a wagon axle, that's cool. I can fix that. We good. But at the end, you could, like, legit die. But your goal was to see this screen, which I think I saw, like, one time because I didn't play the game very well. So, but this was your goal on Oregon Trail. You were trying to get to the point where you went all the way through and said, hey, you made it. Let's see how many points you racked up. And mine was always at the bottom of the class because I just didn't care. I just wanted to get there and I'll make sure no one, well, I didn't really care if you died, but that's just me. But here's the deal, okay? A lot of us, I don't know if you thought this or not, but a lot of people think, wow, hello. My voice cracked. A lot of people think God's will is like Oregon Trail. Did you guys know that? Maybe you think God's will is like Oregon Trail, where you go into a part of life and you have a list of choices and you can pick from one of those choices. And if you pick the right choice, yay, you're cool with God. If you pick one of the choice, you're like, okay, you know, I'll go to church a little bit more. And then the last one's like, you're dead. Like, you're died. You have cholera, you have spirit, and you die. Like, a lot of people think that's how God's will works. And in fact, this is the first blank on your little slip right there on the back, is most Christians actually ask, how do I know God's will for my life? The question that most Christians ask is, how do I know what God's will is for my life? When I get to a certain scenario, when I get to a certain point, how do I actually know that this is what God wants for me? How do I know this is actually what God wants for me? Now, here's the deal, okay? A lot of people think this question can be a bad question. Here's the deal. This is not a bad question. You should be asking the question, what does God want for my life? Because we want to honor God, right? If we're Christians and we want to follow after God, yeah, we want to please Him. We want to do what He wants to do. We don't want to die of cholera. Like, we want to make sure we're doing what God wants us to do. But how does God's will even work? How do I even know that I'm in it? How do I know how to find it? It just doesn't make sense. That's the question most Christians ask. But when we Christians ask this question, a lot of people who are not Christians go, why on earth do you want to follow a God who has a will for you and He's a control freak and if you screw up, He's going to zap you? Why on earth would you want to follow a God like that? And this is the question that maybe some of you guys are asking. Maybe some of you guys are wrestling with, if I'm following God and He's a control freak and He controls my life, He's a fun sponge, why the heck would I want to follow Him? I just come to you because my mom tells me I got to come. Oh, yeah, and there's cereal tonight, so that's why I was here. Let's be honest. That's why I was here. And the coffee. And it's my job. So, but here's the question that a lot of us have is, do I want to even know what God's will for me, or do I not even care? And today and throughout this whole series, this four-week series, I'm actually going to prove you wrong a little bit, okay? And in fact, I'm actually going to tell you, A, exactly what God's will for your life is, like point blank. I'm going to say, this is God's will for your life. And by the way, God's less of a control freak than what you actually think He is. And it's going to hopefully completely revolutionize your mind and your thinking. But going back to God's will, here's the problem with God's will, okay? A lot of people think it's like Oregon Trail. Maybe you think it's that way. You come up to a point in your life, okay, I got college, I got to make a decision. God wants me to pick. I know God has the college for me, and I just got to pick the college for me. But what happens if you pick the wrong college and you're screwed? Sorry, you died. Like, is that how it works? Maybe some of you guys think God's will is like a maze. Like, you know, you're traveling through, you take a left turn, and all of a sudden it's like, crap, I'm lost. And you just go in a circle, 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 circle. 20 years later, you pop out. Hey, I think I made it. Nope, you got lost again. Try it again. A lot of people think that's what God's will is. Or how about this? Some of you guys think maybe God's will is a target. There is God's will for my life, and I got to hit it. And if I'm anywhere off, I'm screwed. Or what about this one? This is more the one that I think for me. Is God's will more like a checklist? As long as I'm going through life and I hit these high checkpoints, I'm in God's will for my life. And this is something that maybe you guys are struggling with. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but in today's culture, teenagers, you guys, are more stressed out, anxious, scared of the future than any other generation that's ever been here before. And the reasons why we know this is this. There are more anti-depression medication that's being given out. There's a lot more counseling visits that are happening. There's a lot more conversation with counselors. In fact, some of you guys have even talked about this. You can't even get in to see your school counselor because there's way too many people. Now, maybe that's just when you want to switch classes. But just in general, school counselors are over because kids are like, I don't know what I want to do. I just don't know. And for us as Christians, maybe we get bogged down with the fact of, what does God have for my life? And if I miss it, Mark, am I screwed? Am I done? Like, is God just going to be done with me and I just have to live on the rest of my life? Should I just wait and find out what it is? We have so many questions that we have, and we get stuck in these questions because there's a lot of questions that, yes, you guys have to make. Adults might make fun of you, like, oh, just wait till the real world. You have to make some real-time decisions. And I don't want you to think that, because right now you guys have a lot of hard decisions you have to make. Like in high school, for specifically with classes, I know this stresses you guys out a lot, because what if you choose a class but it doesn't help your career choice? And you could have taken that class to help your career choice, but you didn't take it, but now you want to, but now can you get that career all of a sudden? Or with AP classes, y'all know what's up. If you don't get into that AP classes, colleges think I'm going to be dumb and they're not going to offer me my scholarship. If I don't get into AP classes, what the heck am I going to do? What about friends? How about this one? Should I act this way and just at least fit in and not be a super loser? Or should I stand up for my beliefs and just be a complete outsider and rejected by my friends? What choice do I have to do? That can cause us to be really, really anxious because we don't know what to do. Another one is colleges. This is a big one for you guys who are about maybe that junior year, senior year. Just here in South Bend alone, Mishawaka, we got what? We got Bethel, we got Notre Dame, we got Ivy Tech, we have IUSB. If you want to travel a little bit, you can go to like the IUPUI, University of Indianapolis, Anderson University, Taylor University, Cedarville University, Huntington University, go up north a little bit, Spring Arbor University. Oh, by the way, then there's Michigan and Michigan State. Don't forget about Purdue. Don't forget about Northwest Indiana. Then there's Encilla College right over here. That's just within like a 4-hour drive, and that's not even half the colleges that are here. What college should you choose? Because if you pick the wrong college, you might not find your spouse. Because you got to find the one. Oh, and speaking of one, who the heck am I supposed to marry? What if they end up not being the one? What do I do when I wake up one day and I go, well, Nicole, that was a good shot, but you're not the one for me, so I need to go find something else. How do you do that? And we're going to go into that conversation because she knows exactly where I'm going with this. Because there's days where she wakes up and goes, dang it, why did I do that to myself and marry Mark? She probably asked that question a lot. We're going to talk about marriages and specifically with dating and what happens and how do you choose the one. And is there one specific person in your – like, just got to have that person. Like, you know what? I know a lot of you guys are like, I like that person to be God's will for my life. I know, like, some of y'all think that. But how does that even work? What happens if you wake up and they're not the one anymore? And how about this? What about your career? What if you choose a career 20 years down the road? You're like, this career sucks. I want out. Did I just waste my entire life? And did I not find God's will for my life? These are some of the biggest challenges we face, and we're actually going to talk about these challenges in the coming weeks. But today, I want to just free you, okay? I want to just free you of what your thought of God's will even is. I want you to set you on a path where every time you take a step and you have to make a decision, you don't have to be scared anymore of if that's God's will for your life or not. Because here's the deal. God's will for you is actually less like a checklist, but it's actually more like a playground. I'm going to tell you what I mean. God's will for your life is actually less like a checklist or a maze or Oregon Trail or an adventure book or whatever you want to put in there, a target. God's will is less like a checklist and actually more like a playground. And I know you guys are thinking, Mark, what the heck are you talking about? What the heck are you talking about? Here's what I mean, okay? So have you guys ever been here before? Like, what is this place? Kids came, and whoever burnt that thing just needs to, like, go to jail for forever. Yeah. Yeah, this is actually our Kids Kingdom since it's been repainted and everything. Whenever Elliot and Nicole and I go, this is what it looks like. This was one of the pictures that was taken when the fire was set inside of Kids Kingdom, like a year ago? Yeah. Not even a year ago when they set the fire. What's that?
Is it still, like, the same
Yeah, it's the exact same size. They just replaced the wood, so it's just they painted it up, they spruced it up, they added some new stuff. But we love Kids Kingdom, and here's why Nicole and I, and this is funny, we don't care if Elliot likes it. Nicole and I love Kids Kingdom for Elliot because of these reasons right here. Elliot can literally do everything. If you go to Pottawatomie Park, he can't do everything because the bro's a Hyde. He's short. Like, I mean, he ain't going to be able to do too much. He's too short. He wants to go hang on the monkey bars, which he can die on. And like, we're like, no, bro, no. So he can do everything in Kids Kingdom because it's all wood. And he can run up, and there's little places to hide and slides and all that kind of stuff. Another one, this is just like a parent hack. You ready? It's in the shade. The sun doesn't touch it. Like any place a parent can sit, it ain't hot. Like, what's up? It's legit. Another one. Here's another, like, little, like, hack as a parent. In the middle of the playground, there's actually benches for parents to sit on. It's, like, clutch. Like, whoever built this thing is freaking clutch. But the ultimate reason why Nicole and I love this playground isn't just because we have places to sit or it's in the shade or Ellie can do everything. Because there's other parks like that all around South Bend, Mishawaka, that we can go to. But the main reason why is because there's a fence that surrounds it. I don't know if you guys can stop. Kids Kingdom, you can see it. I wanted to get this picture specifically because around the back, you see where like the pool is back there? Like that's Pottawatomie pool back there. There's a fence that goes around the back all the way on the outside, and there's actually a gate right here that you can actually go like shut it closed while kids are playing. You can't lock it because that's like, you know, not okay. But Elliot can't reach the thing. But there's a fence that goes all the way around the playground. And the reason why Nicole and I and most parents like playgrounds like this is because today's world is crazy stupid. There's kidnappers, kids run, they can go wherever they want. If you go to the other side with the actual Pottawatomie Zoo Park, like kids just take off. And like you gotta watch them because they're right there by the street all the time. And you see parents jump up, freak out, run and grab their kids. We don't have to worry about that because we know Elliot is safe inside of the playground. And our only rule for Elliot inside this playground is just don't leave. Whatever you do, don't leave. Like, that's our one rule. Elliot can do anything inside the playground. He can do the monkey, not the monkey bars. He can do, you know, he can do the slide. He can do the steps. There's, like, the little, like, walking paths he can do. There's swings. Elliot can do whatever he wants inside the playground, and that's okay as long as he doesn't leave the playground. And in the same way that's what Nicole and I do for Elliot with the playground, God's will, and we're going to talk about this tonight, God's will is more like a playground. Because there's actually four places in Scripture where the Bible says, this is God's will for you. And if you think about those four things as these are the only four things God wants you to do, they kind of make four walls around your entire life. And as long as you do those four things, you can be sure that whatever decision you make that's wise, let's be honest, let's be wise, because you still can't hit your sister on the playground. But whatever decision you make that is wise inside the playground can be inside of God's will. So let's just go ahead and jump right in. We're going to talk about the four playgrounds, and we're going to look in the Bible specifically about those. So if you got your Bibles, your Bibles, open them suckers up. If you don't have Bibles, we have Bibles in the back that we can get to you guys. Or you can share. You can do whatever you want. Does anyone actually need a Bible, though? Like, need a Bible? There's a couple. Fairchild, hook you up. We're going to 1 Thessalonians first. We're going to go to four different passages. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians 5 first. 1 Thessalonians 5. Oh, and by the way, while you guys are doing this, it's just like a little, like, teaser, I'm recording all of our messages that we're going to do. I know Bobby needed one, Be Red, you guys good? We'll be recording all the messages, so if you guys ever miss one or want to go back and listen to one, we're actually going to have a message podcast for you guys to go back and listen to. And I'm working at actually doing a weekly podcast, like 10-minute theology or 10-minute like Bible lessons to have conversations to keep letting you guys learn and educate and learn about Jesus and how the whole thing works, because I want to be able to get into your guys' ears as you're on the buses, whatever, to learn more about God. So that's just a side note. Well, that's to come later. But I am recording these, and we'll shoot you guys links about it later. But 1 Thessalonians 5 is where we're going to be at. 1 Thessalonians 5, and we're going to be reading verses 16 through 19. Jessica, are you there?
Yes.
Can you read?
Oh, wait.
5, what?
Can you read? But can you read?
Yes.
Okay. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 19.
Okay. Rejoice always, pray constantly. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Don't stifle the Spirit.
Okay, so what's God's will for your life? Someone tell me, from that passage, what is God's will for your life? It flat out says it. What does it say?
Rejoice.
Be ready.
Rejoice always and pray constantly.
And give thanks. So your first wall one on your playground. You like that little playground I made for you guys? It's pretty cute, huh? I made a little playground for you on your little slip. The first wall is rejoice, pray, and give thanks. Wall one is rejoice, Pray and give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, this wall is all about your attitude. All right? It's all about your attitude, your response to everything in life. No matter what happens, you can rejoice in Jesus. No matter how good life is, you should still pray constantly. No matter how bad things seem to be, always give thanks. And it seems a little backward from what our culture tells us, right? It tells us, like, if you're down, you can just complain, grudge, drag people down with you. If stuff is messed up, you know, you can go, you know, I don't know, do whatever you want, I guess. But and when you're having a really good day, you know, hey, you're doing good. Keep riding that cloud. But this is telling us at all times, no matter what happens in life, to always rejoice in Jesus, even when it's good or bad, to always pray whether it's good or bad, and to always give thanks whether you're something to be thankful for or not. Even when a friend backstabs you, even when your parents hurt you, even when people play you, even when your boyfriend uses you, even when your girlfriend betrays you, even when teachers just excuse you, or even when your pastors forget about you. You are called to rejoice, pray, and give thanks always. And the Apostle Paul is the one who told us to do this, but he also didn't just say, hey, just do it and like good luck with it. He actually lived it, experienced it, and proved it, and wrote about it. In the letter to Philippians, he actually, I don't know if you guys knew about the Apostle Paul, but he was literally in Jewish circles, he was considered like a high-end Pharisee. The dude was, in Jewish culture, he was living the dream. Like, everyone wanted to be like the Apostle Paul because he was one of the top Pharisees. But he switched, gave his life to Jesus, and after that, he started getting beaten a lot. In fact, he was stoned and left for dead, and they actually thought he was dead. They checked his pulse, and like, this bro dead. They walked away and goes, yeah, YOLO, screw it, I'm still alive. So he didn't die, but he was like stoned with these big stones chucked out his head. He made it through. He was shipwrecked and like actually like, you know, went onto an island. Oh, by the way, on that island, he was bitten by a snake. Like, no, heck freaking no. He was bitten by a snake. And then he was actually thrown in jail time and time and time again. And here's what he says in a letter to the Philippian Christians. He said, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I find myself. I know both how to do with little and I know how to do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through Jesus who strengthens me. So wall one to God's playground is to rejoice, pray, and give thanks, because that's God's will for you. That's wall one. Wall two, we can find in Colossians. So keep your finger in 1 Thessalonians because we're going to come right back. But go to Colossians. So I think you have to go to the left, right? Yes. Yeah, you go to the left like one book. That's pretty dope. Okay. Colossians 1, verses 9 through 14 is where we are at. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Braden, are you there?
Yep.
I know you know how to read. Go for it.
Uh-oh. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray and make requests for you, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk worthily of the Lord into all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to the might of his glory, unto patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks unto the Father, who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son and his love.
Awesome. So this one seems a little bit different, but did anyone catch what God's will for you in this scripture passage was? Anybody catch what it was? Go for it, Gaby.
Being fruitful.
Yeah, not being fruitful and multiplying, but being fruitful and knowing God better. Not being fruitful and multiplying, being fruitful and knowing God better. Even though I mean, God did tell Adam and Eve to be married, Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. Let's not forget that. So, but bear fruit and know God better. That's God's will for your life. Paul is praying that we might be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And what is God's will? And verse 10 flat out says it. Verse 10 says this, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. And that's the knowledge of his will. And this one is pretty simple, okay? This is what God's will is for your life. You ready? You ready? Act like a Christian. God's will for your life is to actually live up to like what people think a Christian should be. It's to actually, to when you like, you know, put your money where your mouth is, you're supposed to walk the walk and talk the talk too. as a Christian, bearing fruit, I don't know if it sounds like a, what, that's a weird word, bear fruit, what does that mean? It means that as you're growing, you're starting to look and talk and sound more like Jesus. Good works are starting to happen. You might not be able to explain it, but hey, all of a sudden, like you're starting to be really kind to people that are mean to you. All of a sudden, like, you know what? You're able to talk, like, spiritual truth into conversations. Like, you're reading your Bible a lot, but then all of a sudden you're having a conversation. You're like, oh, well, God says this in the Bible. And you're like, holy crap, where the heck did that come from? Like, you're just like, that was crazy. I don't even know what that was. Or you're starting to do all these various different things, trying to put people's needs ahead of your own. You're starting to serve people who probably you don't deserve. Like, they don't deserve to be served by you. You're starting to do all these various different things. But more than just bearing fruit, you actually need to, cough, cough, back wall, know God better. That's I'm pointing, cough, cough, no God on the back wall. There you go. Back wall. So God's will for you is to bear fruit, but to absolutely get to know God better. And this is extremely hard. I'm going to be honest with you. This one is extremely hard to actually walk the walk of a Christian. In today's world, being a Christian is not normal. Back in the day, everybody was a Christian. Like, everybody was. The church was the center of life, and the pastor was the center of culture. And now pastors are stupid and crazy. And anyone who follows the pastor, y'all stupid and crazy too. So y'all stupid and crazy. I'm just going to say it. You're stupid and crazy. That's what the world says about you. It's really hard to walk and know God better. But God's will for you is that you actually know God better. In other words, read your Bible, start living like a Christian, put your money where your mouth is, quit separating your school life and your personal life, and be one person and follow after Jesus. And it starts with the little steps, little choices, and eventually it will become a lifestyle. Eventually it'll just be habitual. That's wall number two, all right? Wall number three, let's flip to it. Go back to 1 Thessalonians, but we're going to be in chapter 4 this time. 1 Thessalonians 4, and we're going to be reading verses 3 through 8. So 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 8. You there, B-Rad?
Yeah.
You got it.
This is God's will, your
sanctification.
Okay.
One of them big church words.
Abstain from sexual immorality so that each of you knows how to control his own body in sanctification and honor, not with lustful desires like the genitals who don't know God. This means one must not transgress against and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger of all these offenses, as we also previously told and warned you. For God has not called us to impurity, but to sanctification. Therefore, the person who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who also gives you his Holy Spirit.
All right, cool. So what is wall number three, Marissa?
To be pure.
Be what kind of pure?
Purple pure.
Purple pure. There you go. Be no purple. Wall three, no purple. Is that what you're doing, Marissa? No purple? Nice. But it's to be sexually pure. God's will for you is to be sexually pure. And three responses always in youth groups always come out from this question. Yeah, Mark, like, we know we're supposed to be sexually pure. And number two is like, yeah, y'all crazy. You know, I ain't doing that. And number three is ill. Like, ill. No, that's nasty. That's nasty. As you get older, it gets harder and harder. But God's will for you is to be sexually pure. And I know you have heard this from me 1,000 times. And I know your parents have told you this 1,000 times. And I know you've read this 1,000 times. And yes, and yes, and yes, Mark, I know. But here's why I'm telling you that God wants you to be sexually pure. It's because God wants you to be sexually pure. That's just why I'm telling you. This is God's will for you, to abstain from sexual immorality. And here's the deal. Dang, is it hard in this culture. In fact, the culture the Apostle Paul was writing to was dang near impossible too. But today's culture, it is so hard to be sexually pure. And you guys don't need me to explain it to you guys. You already know it because you live in it. You have to deal with it 24/7. Some of you guys are fighting those fights right now. But here's the deal. I mean, it's porn is so easy for us to access now. In fact, a lot of people say that, like, porn used to be something you had to go looking for and it was, like, really bad, but now you have something in your pocket that brings it to you versus you have to go find it. And here's the deal. It used to be, like, guys don't look at porn. Like, that used to be what guys don't do, but it's a struggle for both genders now. And here's the problem with porn, okay? It's fake. It's not real. That's not how it actually is. And in fact, it actually gives you a bad definition of what a woman is and what a man is and how stuff is supposed to work. Porn does so much more than simply just like, oh, that's bad to look at. But it also distorts your view of how God created the opposite sex. Oh, and by the way, this is just like a side note. If you guys ever seen Taken before with Liam Neeson, where like his daughter got stolen and was thrown into like a prostitution ring or whatnot. A lot of porn stars are stuck in that and they can't get out. So when you do, when you struggle with that, you're also fueling the industry to keep getting people and girls stolen and thrown into sex trafficking. It's hard to talk about, but it really is what it is. Another one is people are also asking you for messages all the time. Like, hey, what are you doing? Just chilling. What are you wearing? By the way, if you go to like Jesus Jams, like they have a great comeback for that. But people ask it all the time. Like, oh, so what are you wearing? Can you send nudes? Like, can you send pictures? And I know I'm like, Mark, I don't want to be talking about this. Like, that's awkward. But it happens. And I know it happens. Yeah, Callie.
That's where you're funny. You send like your eyeshadow palette. Because like the girls know like some eyeshadow palettes just say like nude.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's where you're funny.
My eye palette. And then block them. There you go. And so here's the deal. I know it's like you guys are I can see the uncomfortness, and I'm like, holy crap, Mark, this is the first night of SM. You're talking about this? Crap, yes, I'm talking about this. It's awkward, but here's the deal. You guys have experienced this before, and I know you have because I was right there too. I was a high schooler who dealt with a lot of this. I know it. And if you haven't, thank goodness you have not yet. Count your blessings. Just count your blessings. And also, here's the other deal, too. When you watch Netflix, like Nicole and I, like some nights it's really bad. Like, have you guys seen the marriage needs, like definition of marriage, where like we have argument, like they have arguments and they scroll through Netflix for 3 hours only to fall asleep to watching chop reruns? We do that with NCIS. That's just what we do. But if you watch all the like new Netflix shows that are coming out, check their rating. It always will, most 9 times out of 10, we'll see TV. What's the rating? MA. TV MA. And you can guarantee there's going to be porn and sexual images and full frontals and everything. And that's 99% of the stuff Netflix is kicking out. And we thought Netflix was safe. Nope, it's right there in front of your faces. You don't have to scroll through your newsfeed to see stuff that makes you go down those paths. You're going to set the search icon in Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, and it's right there in front of your faces. And I know, it's a hard fight to fight. It's a hard fight to fight. And in culture today, it is so hard to be sexually pure because it's right in front of your face 24/7. And I hate that it is. It actually makes me sick that it is. But here's the deal. It's not just a fight that you guys have to fight. It's a fight that us leaders have to fight too. But how come Mark, how come I haven't stopped fighting it? It's because my marriage is worth it. My family is worth it. My testimony is worth it. My opportunity is worth it. My ministry is worth it. You guys are worth it. There's so many pastors who have lost their ministries because of getting stuck in porn and other just sexual sins down the road. And you guys mean too much for me to do that. And I want to set the example high for you guys. And that's why I've never stopped fighting. And I want you guys to keep fighting too. Fight for your future spouses. Fight for your future partners. Fight for your future kids. Think about this. Every person that you look at is someone's daughter or son. And I, for sure, Evie is not going to be like that. Evie's my daughter, by the way, who's not born yet. But that ain't going to happen. Yeah, Bobby.
Did you name her after a Pokemon?
We are going to buy her the Evie Pokemon, and she's going to rock and roll that thing all day long. But Evie actually is Nicole's grandma's name, Evelyn. And we want to call her Evie, but for show, she's going to get a Build-A-Bear Evie. Like, that's just going down. Like, it's just happening. But either way, sexual sins are in front of us 24/7. And I'm just going to help you guys out with this, okay? It's a struggle, and we all fall, and we all fall short. And as hard as we try, we're going to mess up. And I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying that's a cold reality that you are going to mess up in some way, shape, or form. And I can guarantee it because I have messed up. And I can guarantee it because I know other leaders have messed. Not no, but it's just a fact of life. And I know other youth pastors who have. I know other teenagers who have messed up. And here's the deal, okay? All of us have messed up, but God's forgiveness and forgiveness found in Jesus can overcome that. Yes, you might not be a physical virgin anymore, but that doesn't mean you can be actually healed spiritually, mentally, and emotionally as well. Nicole and I were talking to a girl back at our old youth group up in the Upperville, northern Michigan, the Upper Peninsula, and she was 15 years old, and she's like, I'm not a virgin anymore. What do we do? And it's like, start right now. Start right now. Make the choice today. It says, I'm going to be sexually pure. I might have messed up in the past, but God can forgive me, and I'm going to keep moving forward. So that's what I want is for you guys, because God's will is for you to be sexually pure. Okay, now that we got the awkward one out of the way, let's go to wall number 4. I got 2 minutes till small group starts. Yay. Ephesians 5. Go to Ephesians 5. So that point was only supposed to be two paragraphs and ended up being like 20,000. So Ephesians 5, 17 through 21. You got it, Nathaniel?
Yep.
Go for it.
The 21?
Yep, 17 through 21.
Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God.
That's it. All right, wall number four, here you go. Wall number four is be filled with the Spirit.
Well, let's say stay sober or get pulled over.
Stay sober or get pulled over. Yes, that is wall four, Eli. That is wall four. Wall four, be filled with the Spirit. That's the final wall. So there's wall number four that completes it. This passage says, don't be controlled by alcohol, but rather be controlled by God's Spirit, which this is what's kind of fun, all right? Being controlled and filled with God's Spirit results in something. Did you guys see what it results in the text? Being filled with God's Spirit, that's not the end goal, but something happens when you start becoming full of the Holy Spirit. Did you guys catch that? It's kind of like subliminal there. It says, but be filled by the Spirit. And then at the end of verse 18, then there's a colon. And then it all results in right living with one another. So being filled with the Holy Spirit actually results itself in right living with one another. Hence, cough, cough, back wall being connected. Bam, there we go. I got two out of the three down. I'm going to get that last one here in just a minute. But so being filled with the Spirit results in right living with other Christians. And when you combine these four walls, okay, we're not going to go into that wall too much. And if you want to go deeper in one of these walls in your small group, feel free. But when you combine these four walls, okay, there's one common theme among them. You can combine each one of these four walls, and there's one obvious theme about that. And here you go. When you live your life according to God's will, it changes who you are and what you do. These four walls, when you actually live according to God's will, and by the way, this is God's will for you. God's will might not be for you to go to Purdue or choose Indiana, whatever. I mean, he has a plan. We'll talk about that. But this is exactly what God's will is for you. When you combine all of them, it actually changes who you are and what you do and what your focus in life is. You're no longer focused on, here you go, situation and hardships as they come, but now you focus on God and what he can do. You're no longer focused on you and your wants, but now you focus on others. And now you no longer have to focus on tomorrow and the stress of making those choices, but you focus on your day-to-day interactions, and all in all, you actually become a transformed person. Like that, I hit all three of them. You know God, be connected, and you become a transformed person. I was very proud of myself when I did that. So God's will is simple, okay? God's will is very simple. You don't need to sit on your butt for 20 years and go, oh, I don't know what God's will for my life is. I'm just going to sit here until I get an angel to come tell me what God's will is. You don't have to do that. You don't need to worry about, did I make a right or wrong decision of where to live, where to go, what degree to go to follow through, what college to go to. You don't need dreams and visions. You don't need a GPS or a map. You don't need to know, okay, what's this God's specific target for my life? God's will is not a corn maze. God's will is not Oregon Trail. God's will is that you just walk the walk as a Christian. That's what God's will is for your life. You don't have to stress about what college to go to because God will work through it no matter what college choice you talk about. You don't have to worry about finding that one specific person. We'll talk about that here in a couple weeks. And in fact, in a few weeks, we're going to talk about what its life is like inside of this playground. Today was just set up the four walls. We're talking about the playground. Next week, we're going to talk about the rules of the playground, how to make decisions on what to do and when to do it and when to do it and when not to do it. Got it? It's called death by choices. You like that? It's called death by choices, what we talk about next week. There's so many choices inside of this playground. How do you make the right decision? That's what we're going to be talking about next week. And we'll be talking about a lot of things in the weeks to come. But at the end of the day, I hope that you can be free from the fear of thinking God's will is this tiny little target, and if you make the wrong turn, you can die. I want to free you from that. Just staying inside the four walls of God's will, and you can enjoy the playground that God created for you. Now, here's the deal. If you're not a Christian, I mean, I know all of you guys have been in youth group for many, many, many years. If you're not a Christian, you're thinking, okay, these four walls suck. Like, why does God want me to do this for my life? But here's the deal, okay? These walls are not to be fun sponge into, like, you know, God's like, oh, sucker, I made rules for you. That's not what it's all about. It's for our safety. Those walls at the playground that we go to for Elliot, those so he doesn't get hit by a car and die, or he doesn't get kidnapped, or he just doesn't pull an Elliot and just wanders off, like, you know, whatever. So he doesn't really wander, but that's just what I said. But they're for his protection, and God's walls are for our protection as well. You guys have seen what happens when sex goes out of control and it's improper all of a sudden. I'm not saying sex is bad. In fact, God created it. He gave it as a gift to humanity. But in its proper context is when God gave it as a gift. A lot of these other choices, we think, oh, you know what? I don't want anyone to control my life and this, that, or the other. But if you think about it, God's telling you, hey, don't put yourself first. Put others first. Be kind. Be gentle. Be humble. Live well with one another. Actually follow me and get to know me, the creator of the universe. That sounds like a pretty dope deal to me if you think about it. The God of the universe says, hey, I want to have a relationship with you. Like, that's pretty cool. These four walls of the playground are not to make your life miserable, but they're actually made to make your life better. And we can talk about that in the weeks to come. And if you want to know what it's like to be a Christian and you want to take those next steps and say, yeah, you know what, Mark, maybe I've come to youth group for a butt long time, but I've never decided I want to follow Jesus. Talk with your small group leader. Talk with the friend that you're really close to. Talk to me after youth group. I'd love to have that conversation with you. But if you are a follower of Jesus, I hope you're asking the question of, How do I know what God wants for my life? And here's the deal. God tells us in his word, and we just talked about the four places God says, this is my will concerning you. Or Paul says, this is the will of God concerning you. What was wall one? What was wall one? Say it out loud. What's wall one? Wall two? Be fruitful and know God. Wall three?
Be sexually pure.
I'm waiting for someone to say no purple. Nope. Wait, what?
Jennifer said be bleak pure.
It's okay. We were all seventh graders at one point. Be sexually pure, no purple. Wall number four. I love you, Joshua. Wall number four. What's wall number four?
Spirit.
That's God's will for you. Everything else is just the playground, and we'll talk about the playground later. Let's pray, and we'll head off to small groups.